The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. In the evening of that same day, the first day of the week, the doors were closed in the room where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. He said to them, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord, and he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so am I sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them, said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. For those whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called the twin, who was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. When the disciples said, "We've seen the Lord," he answered, "Unless I see the holes that the nails made in his hands and can put my finger into the holes they made, and unless I can put my hand into his side, I refuse to believe." 8 days later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. The doors were closed, but Jesus came in and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he spoke to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look, here are my hands. Give me your hand. Put it into my side. Doubt no longer, but believe." Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You believe because you can see me. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe." There were many other signs that Jesus worked and the disciples saw, but they're not recorded in this book. These are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing this, you may have life through his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Fear is very real for all of us at different times and stages throughout our lives. And of course, during the pandemic, fear stalked the world. And some of it remains with us still. We're still people who are fearful of coming back and meeting together and being together. And of course, there also, we all have sort of irrational fears that still affect us, maybe all through our lives. So the image of gathering darkness, closed doors, accentuate the mood of fear in the opening of that gospel passage. They were afraid of what the Jewish authorities might do. Human prudence might say there was every reason for fear, because whenever tyrants taste blood, arrests rarely stop at one, as I'm sure we all know. No doubt the story of the empty tomb was known, and the disciples may well be charged with stealing the body. Jesus had been crucified, their leader. Were they to be next? So anyway, the doors closed vividly express their mental condition. And of course, as a group, in a way, they're without leadership, purpose, or direction. As individuals, each one was probably cowering in a sense in a private little hell of lostness, guilt, sadness, fear, anxiety. And that's a picture in some ways that's also relayed to us in the news, so often in the news. And we hear frequently how often people, but youngsters in particular, are feeling in today's world and what faces them without good leadership, without purpose, with little direction, no way to go. The disciples also were probably a little afraid of Jesus as well. Luke tells us they're in a state of alarm and fright when he appears to them. And there's good reason, because they'd betrayed and failed him. We know Judas' betrayer. We know Peter denied him 3 times. The gospel said they all forsook him and fled when he was arrested. How, if they were going to see him, would he react? And in a way, it's a situation I think we all recognize at some point during our lives, because most of us at some point have betrayed someone or let them down, or even if only in a small way. And we have left them alone, maybe, in their darkest hour and or in their greatest need, and just left them. Maybe refused to listen to them or open our hearts to offer a word of support or a helping hand. However, in whatever way we've let others down, the gospel shows us that often people we've wronged and maybe we don't want to see again, at least not for a long time, maybe even never again, have a habit of appearing out of the blue. And a meeting, perhaps even a confrontation, is inevitable. How is that person going to react to us and we to them? The disciples had heard that Jesus was alive and that Mary Magdala had embraced him. But he's not appeared to them in person. Could that signify his anger with them? And that's why they are shut away, dim room, afraid to move, listening anxiously for any noise. And in a way, the closed door as it contradicts the message of the stone rolled away. So suddenly, Jesus is standing in their midst and saying, "Peace be with you." And you may recall that, and they may have recalled as well, that he'd said before, "Peace I leave you, my own peace I give you, a peace the world cannot give. This is my gift to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." How we need to listen, take in, respond to those words. Because Jesus invites them and us to come out of caves of darkness and fear and anxiety and discover the new life that he breathes on us. Because it says he breathed on them. But the breath he breathed on them, "Breathe on me," that we often sing, on the breath of God. This is Jesus, this is God breathing divine breath into them. And in a way, that simple phrase is sufficient to let them know that their betrayal, their desertion are forgiven. And it said they were filled with joy. Their betrayal has not overcome Jesus. His sense of self-worth is great enough not to let his love for them be tempered by their treacherous behavior. What words also we need to hear. Because he told them before, and Matthew reminded them before he sends them out, he will be with them always until the end of time. There's nothing, whatever they can do to him, there's nothing that could undo his love for them. And therefore, for us. And that's why we read it on Divine Mercy Sunday, on this octave of Easter. Nothing can undo the love that God has for us. That's why St. John, who tells us God is love, but God loved the world so much that he gave. He gave his Son, and the Son says, "Peace be with you." An important, always part of our Mass. Always important, that peace. Even though we may not be shaking the hands as we used to do, we still have that peace from the Lord each time we're here at Mass. And so he's passing on to us his self-esteem, his spiritual maturity, and his love. that can become our own. That doesn't mean that we're as mature and emancipated as he is, but it does mean that through him we now have that capacity to develop along his way, which is why we're here. And each time we come, we're growing and growing in the love of the Lord. And that's why St. John also writes that Jesus came to give life and life to the full, his life, which he breathed on them. Fear is the enemy of this life, because it eats away at the self-esteem and the maturity and the love. But that's why Jesus comes and restores it, the glory of the risen Lord. As we know, perfect love, which he has and gives to us, casts out fear. So there's no room for fear in the life that Jesus brings. And as it changes us, what he always does, he sends us out to tell others, no need to fear.